That's a lot of pressure, though, as a hairstylist sometimes.
Unless you've been doing their hair for 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you'd just be giving her a mullet.
But I said yes. Crazy. We always have to keep passion for what we do in some way, shape, or form.
What's up, buddy? We're live.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Episode 19. So, we forgot scratch-off tickets again.
I know. Perpetually. We're, I guess we're going to continue to forget those.
Maybe next time.
Maybe.
I think, yeah, this is going to become a thing. Like every episode, we're like, yeah, next time we're going to get scratch-off tickets. So, anyway, man, we had Stephen Post on last time. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was nice to get to know him, man. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, Stephen's great. So, after that episode, I guess right before it aired, I went down to Atlanta. So, I just got vaccinated. I don't know how much we talked about that, but I got my first vaccine 2.5 weeks ago. So I felt like, you know what? I'm probably shooting like 70% on this vaccination thing. I'm going to head down to Atlanta, you know? Not really. Actually, I went down to Atlanta because I just wanted to see the fam. I hadn't been down there in a while. So, and I was like, you know what, Steven, I'm coming down. I'm going to check it out. I want to come by. So,
yeah, you said it's beautiful.
Oh my God, man. Holy cow. I was super impressed, bro. Yeah, it's an old church. It's beautiful. Super clean, just like real clean. Everything's like, I like there's no mess anywhere.
It's from like a design element and then physically as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was extremely professional. It was really cool to see some of his staff because I hadn't seen them in a while. So it was good to see y'all. It was good to meet Steven's like business partner guy. You know, we all got to talk a bunch and it was great. It was a really fun time. So shout out to you, brother, man. I'm really proud of you, man. That place is awesome.
Yeah, and the perk of seeing the family on trip is always cool, man.
It's always cool. So I'm pretty excited about our beer tonight. We didn't drink any beer last week, so yeah. I think we got some making up to do.
I think we're making it up right now because these are both amazing.
Well, let me go first only because mine's not as cool as yours. So I'm saving the best for last. Okay. So, but I think both of us have something like really near and dear to our hearts here. Like, cause you have a piece of Wisconsin.
I do. Cause I also took a trip.
Yep. And yeah, that's kind of crazy. We both went home to where we grew up.
Yeah. I guess I didn't think about it that until this moment.
Well, we got to talk about that too. Cause me and you and Tony had a really cool call. So we'll talk about that too in a little bit. So, I went back to Atlanta and my brother-in-law, Todd Roush, what's up, buddy? Giving you a big shout out. He hooked me up with some Creature Comforts Tropicalia. So there's a brewery in Athens, Georgia. That's where University of Georgia is. It's such a college town. It's called Creature Comforts Brewing Company. And they have this beer called Tropicalia. It's an India Pale Ale. It's like a tropical. It's a ripe and juicy, aromatic, balanced 6 points something. I don't know. I think it's like a 6.5 or something like that. I can't read it. But anyway.
We have the mood lighting on in the dungeon tonight.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, this thing, it's unique because 5.5 years ago when I moved to Asheville in Atlanta, you could never find Tropicalia. It was like this mysterious beer that like if you were able to get one of them, you were like, holy crap, dude, I got Tropicalia. You got to come over and have one sip. You know,
it was like, pour you a shot.
Yeah, let me pour you a shot. It's like Pappy Van Winkle. It was crazy. And it was expensive and there was an aftermarket for it. I'm not really that big of a beer nerd at all. Like I'm not the guy that seeks it out. But there was like, I don't know if it was an app or if it was like the paper in Atlanta that would, like they would tell you where shipments were going so you could get to the liquor store before it got there. It was kind of crazy.
That's but anyway, so hipster.
It's so hipster. But so it's widely available now. It really is. And so I got a 6-pack of regular and I got a 6-pack of tall boys, which are the only beers. So if it's not a tall boy, it's not a beer. It's just like a sample of a beer.
I like how we've defined that now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the can on this cool, too. I like the secret little palm trees on the back of it that are kind of, like, ghosted in.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. Isn't that where REM is from, too?
Yeah, Athens? It is. You know, I saw Michael Stipe at a bar there one time. I think it was like, it's called like 283 or something. Like this, I'm probably totally butchering that. But like this bar downtown was like a wine bar. And he just happened to be sitting in there drinking a glass of wine. And I saw him. And it's like, he's just kind of a staple of Athens. Like if you see him around town, nobody messes with him.
Yeah, he just hangs.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So what do you got, bro?
Well, so yeah, I also I took a trip to the motherland because last episode I was missing a tooth, and my uncle's a dentist up in Wisconsin. Got in touch with him, and I was getting some data from him, and he was like, "Dude, just come up, I'll fix nice. You." So
you look great.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, yeah, I had a titanium rod implanted in my face.
You look like a hockey player that's at the press conference after the
right,
game.
Right afterwards, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So while I was there, we went to a store to buy some stuff, and I was like, I just have to check out the craft beer selection. I wasn't even thinking, honestly, about like bringing something back for this, and then I saw this beer, and there's no way that I wasn't buying it. So the brewery on this is Carbon 4, carbon spelled with a K and then the number 4 at the end, but the 4 is kind of elevated, almost like it's an element or something.
Cool.
But the real reason, I could care less that it's called Carbon 4, that's the brewery. The name of the beer itself is Fantasy Factory, but the real selling point, and we're going to have to post a picture of this one, is there is a rearing unicorn breathing fire with lasers shooting out of its eyes. And awesome. On its back is a ninja cat holding a pistol. I mean, it is like the most epic fantasy scene you've ever could imagine.
A ninja cat with a gun.
Yeah, exactly. That's
like very, very anti-Asian law or something.
Right, you know? Yeah. I mean, this guy is, they are slaying it. So yeah. Well done, Carbon Beer. Yeah, it's an IPA. It's 6.3%.
Not bad.
Out of Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, and, yeah. You know, all it's right. a 16 ounce. So
yeah, here we go.
Cheers,
time,
man.
Time to crack them. All right. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
So yeah, our buddy Tony Cola.
It's good.
I guess we've kind of started this thing where like on Saturday night, sometimes we'll talk to each other about what beer we're drinking.
Yeah.
We happen to all three be just drinking beer on Saturday nights. And, you know, we're always like hanging out with our families. And so he FaceTimed us on Saturday night. That was pretty cool. You were playing shuffleboard in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was playing shuffleboard in my uncle's basement with my cousins drinking beer.
And I was hanging out with my family, my parents, my sister, her husband and kids, and my stepdaughter, Ruby. We were all just hanging out, like watching TV and just having a good time. That was awesome. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah, it was super unexpected.
Yeah, it was really
but
good.
But it was just right.
Shout out to you, Tony, man. Love you, buddy.
Cheers, bro.
Cheers. So, you know, we were talking about something earlier at the salon because, you know, Jordan walked up to me today and was like, yeah, I've got this, like, energy vampire in my chair, basically. Yeah. And we started talking about, like, the chair, the energy around the chair. And so what happened with this lady?
Well, I mean, we have an ongoing thing, and by no means do I dislike her or anything, but I have this client, and she's just a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, a constant challenge, which, you know, I love to have clients that are going to bring issues to me that they need resolved. You know, I desire that behind the chair to always continue to grow, and I don't want to just throw it in autopilot. I want to have to think, how can I problem solve for this? The thing about her is that she comes with this really negative energy every time.
Yeah.
So I like when you coined the term chair-chi.
Chair-chi.
Like how we have to control it. I had to flip the script on her because I want to say it was the last time she came in. I was just, you know, like, hey, good morning. How are you doing? And she's like, I'm all right.
Hmm.
I was like, all right, okay. Well, you know, welcome in. It's nice to see you again.
Really so, starting off with good vibes.
Yeah. So what's going on with your hair? Well, this is... not one of the best haircuts you've ever given me. I'm like, well, thanks a lot. You know,
ouch,
like, okay, ouch. Well, you know, what are you not enjoying about it? You know, well, I can't get any volume. The bangs are too long. It just, no matter what I do, it won't do anything, you know? So it's like, okay. So I started talking to her about things we can do, you know, maybe we'll put a little more texture in the top. It's getting a little wide on the sides. I'd like to see it taper down here. We'll bring that fringe up a little. So just talking to her, you know, she starts pointing these things out, like, you know, like her little sideburn. She's like, you know, don't cut these at all. I want to keep all of this length. I'm like, okay, so I'm going through this whole process. I'm cutting her hair. And I hate to do this too, but it's, you know, like for a portion of the haircut, it's almost show. I'm just like point cutting into her hair, not even taking any length off. But mm-hmm. I feel like I have to go through these steps for her. But the thing that tripped me out is at the end of her haircut, one thing that I always do is I always invite for my clients to put their hands in their hair while the cape's still on. I always, when I'm done styling, I take a step back. I always literally take a step back and I look in the mirror and I say, get your hands in there and play around with that for a minute. Cause I'm a strong believer in nonverbal communication. I think that people are always going to, you know, grab onto a spot in their fringe four times. They're telling me something. They might not know that it's too long or that it's heavy, but like their body language tells me that. So it's just a thing that I do. I always ask them that. So this time I, you know, take a step back and I'm like, hey, you know, get your hands in there and, you know, just play around with it. And she's like, get my hands in what? You cut all my hair off. And she didn't even, and I was just like, oh my gosh. And, she goes, and my sideburns, they're just gone. And I literally sectioned them out and didn't cut them at all. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those people where it's like, no matter what you do, it's like, you're not going to make them happy.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I have to make sure that that energy doesn't carry into the next client because it was my second haircut of the day and that can just, that can mess your groove up. So like, I feel like, you know, both of us do a good job of keeping things really positive behind the chair, high energy, a lot of fun. But sometimes when somebody comes at you like that, it's like, what do you do?
And it's a power struggle at that point, I think. And it's like, it is kind of weird because like, I think there's certain people, and I've seen it, especially when I get a woman that comes to my chair that's been through the ringer of all of our hairstylists, female hairstylists at the salon. And then she finally comes to me, you know, and then it's like, and it could have been she went to guys too. It doesn't matter. Like she just went to everybody. And then she gets to me and like, I'm usually pretty stern about things, you know, just like Angie is at our salon. Like
Angie's great at setting a tone.
Very firm with our tone. And, you know, we own our spaces like you do too. Totally. And, but anyway, I'll get that client that finally gets to me and she can't like, she can't just like wreck me like she does the other people.
Right. Yeah. You she's know? Not going to ruin she's not your gonna day.
Send me to the break room crying and she knows it and feels it. And like, if anything else, I'm just going to tell her no, you know, like, I don't know. That's one of my sayings is like, I'd rather say no than I'm sorry. So,
For sure. Which that's a great one. Like you should probably write that down. That's a killer line.
I mean, I've said it so many times. Like that's like one of my taglines. I feel like, cause I really know my own limits too. And so that applies more to color corrections than anything else. Like when people come in and they have, you know, hair that they're like, I really want to be platinum. And the last person made me like orange and like, but it was like 2 days ago and like, please make me white hair. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Rather than I'm sorry, you have a third of the hair that you had when you walked in the door and your color sucks, you know?
Yeah.
I would rather say no.
Definitely. You know, it applies to bangs too. I'd rather say no than sorry. And you know, I'm not scared. I will straight up fringe somebody.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes you have to read the room. And I guess the thing with a client like this is I just have to write it off because no matter what, I mean, there was a time she came in, I was like, how are you doing? She's like, parking sucks out there. And I was like, it's like, all right, no matter what, she's going to be crap. So it's like, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, go on.
You know, there was a lady that came to one of the girls at the salon today and the stylist, she ended up, I heard the client talking to the stylist and she was like, I want chocolate. Everybody gives me something that's not chocolate and blah, blah, blah. And I was walking by going, oh, shit.
Christ, are we talking about chocolate again?
Yeah, seriously. And so I walk by and then like a minute later, that stylist comes to me and they're like, Jay, will you come over here and help me with this? And I walk over to her and the client and she's got a bunch of swatches. She said, you know, and the client's hair did look really goldenish, you know, like, it was probably a level 5 golden brown, but like very golden brown. She's like, everybody makes me red, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the stylist was like, which one of these swatches would you use? Cause she doesn't want to be darker. And, you know, I immediately pointed to the matte brown, you know, like the greenish.
Yeah,
brown.
Totally.
Like, yeah, that's the mood. But I told the lady, I was like, you're going to be a little bit darker for a few washes, but like, you know, it's going to cancel out the gold. So whatever. And like, I was like super stern, like, this is how it's going to be. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And the lady was like, okay.
Yeah. This is literally our best option.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, I mean, and I think like we both know that like that chair chi, I mean, that belongs to us, man. That
yeah.
We have to own that. We have to rule that. And it's all about being confident in your answers, you know, and like your communication. I tell the assistants, I'm like, confidence, confidence, confidence. I always push confidence. You guys got to be confident. And the only way to get confident as an assistant is like, you have to do an amazing amount of shampoos. You have to do an amazing amount of blow dries. Like, I can't just like give you a booklet that tells you all about blow dries and you're going to be confident in doing it.
No, repetition is the key to like mastering anything.
Absolutely.
You know, and then like even getting into like the chi of the chairs. And I think we've talked about this in the past, but you know, like even today I got running a little bit behind, but it's that station flip.
Yeah.
You know, when one person leaves and making sure that when the next person comes and sits down, it's like they're the only person that's been in my chair that day.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you can't have a cattywampus station that's tilted to the side with a dirty pair of scissors and a clump of hair on the floor.
Yeah.
It's like going back and resetting that and being mm-hmm. like, this is a new space. This is a new client. And like, not to be cheesy, but like centering that chi again.
Yeah.
You know, boom, fresh start. Let's
absolutely.
Roll.
Absolutely. Nothing like kind of grosses me out personally more than like picking up one of my brushes and like hairs hanging off of it. And I'm going to a fresh blow dry with somebody else's hair.
Oh, it's like the most embarrassing thing ever.
That, or like, you know, when you pick up your texturizing shears and they still have hair in it from the last person, and you're like, oh,
when it's always like a way different color too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you have somebody with dark hair and there's blonde hair hanging out of your,
it's bad,
out of your scissors. I think the one that gets me that I'm sometimes guilty of is at the end of, especially like a short hair, either a men's cut, pixie cut, shorter hair. And I turn the blow dryer on and you do kind of like that final blast, you know, of cold air, knock all the hair off, whatever. And I'll rebuff my whole station, get it ready, sit somebody down. And then in the consultation, I look in the mirror and there's always like three hairs stuck to the mirror, like in our eye line, you know, like in our sight of vision. I'm always like, damn it.
That's right.
I need to remember, check the mirror. Cause especially like during a blow dry, with those wet hairs shoot out, they hit the mirror and they're there.
Yeah.
You just can't forget to check.
And when they're like a silver hair or a white hair, it's harder to see them and they just stay there.
Yeah. Until you try to make eye contact.
Like, oh.
And then it's right there.
You know, and you know in your heart, that's the difference between great clips and Arsalan right there. Is like,
yeah.
You know,
devil's in the details.
Needs to be much, much cleaner, much nicer.
Yeah, definitely.
So, energy vampires stealing our chair chi.
How often would you say that you have a client that is the reverse? Because I only have a couple, but you know when you get those clients that just gas you up? You know, like Gus is one of mine.
Gus.
Yeah, like Gus comes in.
Did I tell you Gus left that sticker on my car the other day?
No.
So we got to, you tell him about Gus, because Gus is a character.
I mean, I think the only way to describe Gus is I always say that he has a bright future as a shopping mall Santa Claus. Like in retirement, because he's just this big, jolly, boisterous guy. And I think that some people hate him when he comes in the salon because he's so like jolly and loud.
Man, you would have to be an energy vampire type of person to not like his
to be annoyed by it. Yeah. But like to me, he's one of those clients. When he comes in, we have so much fun. We laugh so hard. When he leaves, like I'm juiced and ready for my next client.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool when we get those. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, that is special.
So I have this thing where I've got a bunch of clients that it's kind of hard to explain maybe, but they come in and they have high expectations of what I'm going to give them personally. Like I have this one lady and she comes in, she's like, oh, you're really doing great today. Or like the next time she'll come in, she'll be like, you're just kind of off today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. The people that come for the experience.
Yeah.
And the storytelling more than the hair.
Yeah. And she just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. And like, man, if I am not on it, if I'm not energetic and like really locked in, she like knows it. Cause she's like, She's looking in the mirror in my eyeballs, through them into my soul the whole time, you know? And the tough thing for her is like when I'm double booked and I got two people going at the same time and I'm trying to like balance things out, she's like, oh, you have a lot going on.
I was just going to say that's the same client that gets irritated that you're double booked.
Yeah.
You know, because I have those clients. You have the clients that are like, don't double book me. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that makes sense is because they want all of our attention.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that they understand what the cost of that is to us.
Those are good clients for people that don't double book.
They're great.
I mean? They really are. And I mean, unfortunately, like we tend to price those clients out anyway.
Well, years ago, I had a client that requested that I didn't double book her, mm-hmm. and I told her she was going to have to pay for the double book spot that would happen, and she was happy to.
Oh, wow.
It shocked me.
Wow.
Yeah, well, for like 6 months,
yeah.
and then now she's gone.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't miss her at all. At all.
I'm sure you don't. I'm sure you don't. Yeah, I mean, I have one client that doesn't want to be double booked. One, that's it. That's the only one. And she actually doesn't mind being double booked as long as I do her blow dry.
Yeah.
She doesn't want anybody else to do her blow dry. So, you know, which is fine, whatever. She's always my first client. So I typically can get her taken care of by myself.
Like, yeah, because you're not a big beginning of the day. So, yeah you're like, on point.
You know, I could get somebody else to start the next client anyway if it's a caller.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Or, you know how it is if it's a guy. Like for me, if I'm running behind and I got a guy client, I like, you know, get my assistant to bring the guy over. I talk to him for a split second and then I'm like, go get him shampooed, give him an awesome massage. And you know, they know what I mean.
Right. Yeah. You're like, I need 12 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Go take care.
Not a minute less than 12.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And then I can nail that blow dry. So, yeah, but it's funny, man. Like I got this one lady, I think we've talked about her before. She, every time she come in, I'm like, how you doing? She's like, it always started off with this massive sigh. And I was like,
big exhale.
Holy, here we go. But anyway, I mean, honestly, you know, 95% of my clients are freaking kick ass, man. They really are. They really are. I think we attract our type of people. And I think both me and you are pretty, pretty positive, like, you know, fun loving, outgoing people in the salon. So that's what we get for our clients.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we attract our own tribe, you know, there's, like, we joke how, you know, like, there are girls in the salon that have long blonde hair, and that's what they love to do, and all their clients have long blonde hair, you know? And yep. There's, you know, people that are a little more, like, stern and crabby, and all their clients come in, they're stern and crabby. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. we build who we are mm-hmm. around us with our clientele, and maybe it's narcissistic, but I love the shit out of all my clients, and just because I love myself.
Yeah. No, know? I mean, I really do. I've always said, like, I would say, and I changed these numbers kind of, I love about 96% of my clients, like love them. Like I really do. I think about them when I don't see them, I miss them. Like if I don't see them for a while, like I really do. And then 3%, they're okay. They're cool. Whatever. I mean, maybe I don't love them, but they're okay. I can deal with them. And then 1% I can't stand.
Yeah.
You know,
but some, I mean, that's good too though. Yeah. Checks and balances.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Those are the ones that really keep me on my toes, that 1%.
Well, know? And it's also like the thing that makes me like, my last client today was so much fun and we laughed and we had a blast and it was just like such a good appointment. And it's like a Miss Crabapple that came in prior to her that morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was like having that weird appointment makes me appreciate the good ones so much more.
You know,
so
it's important
to have those.
Man, when you get through a really, really stressful appointment where you're sweating, you can literally feel the sweat on the nape of your neck. And you know, like, you almost need to take the blow dryer and hit your neck for a second.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and, like, maybe even, like, a bead of sweat pour down your
hits the small forehead. Of your back.
Yeah. And then that client's finally done. They're out the door. And then the next one that you know really, really well, and you know her kids and, like, you know, her parents or whatever, she sits down and you're like, oh God, thank God you're here.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I've been waiting so much. Yeah.
I had that happen today, but it wasn't because I didn't like the client at all. It was just because I had this lady's blow dry was like crazy, crazy. Like she has so much hair. I mean like 10 clips in her hair, like, and you got to use a tiny little brush to get these tiny little curls out of the nape of her neck. And I mean, it's just so much work that I was sweating. And then finally, like, I get done with her blow dry, and like my next client is literally my every 3 week gray coverage client that I know every single person in her family by name, you know.
Yeah, y'all so just like, jam.
Oh. Yeah, thank God. She's like, you seem like you're busy. And I'm like, shut up. Let's do this.
Let's get to work. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Like, and her name's Karen, which I love. I love her so much.
The gentle Karen.
She actually, she's, I think she's my number one client. She's, I have had her for at least 5 years, and it, she's every 3 weeks, and she's clockwork, and she's awesome. And, you know, we all have that one client, you know. I mean, I have like my top five. But this is my client that I make the most money off of, basically.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Yeah, the bread and butter.
Yeah,
yeah, really the person is. That literally makes your car payment every month.
You know, every 3 weeks, you know? It's at least $200 every single time. You know, it's good. So, so anyway, the salon's changing, man. Like, the governor came out, I guess it was Tuesday, 2 o'clock, did this, like, press conference, and was like, all salons on Friday at 5 p.m. go to 100% capacity.
So yeah,
here we go.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
Well, and I feel like I actually had one of my clients ask me about it today, mm-hmm. and asked what was going to change. And, you know, I said, if anything, maybe just some scheduling, because it's not like the amount of clients I was doing prior, like pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. It's not like we took those numbers and said, now me, Jordan, as an individual, can only do half that number of people.
Yeah,
it's a fire marshal thing for the building.
Yeah,
but I mean, guys have done such a good job of like shifting schedules around and sure. controlling, you know, who's there and when they're there, mm-hmm. that to me, I feel like I'm running probably at like 75 or 80% now,
yeah,
maybe higher. So I feel like for me personally, nothing's going to change, but I think that the energy in the salon is going to just burst, because the past couple weeks, I feel like it's been,
we've been hitting some record numbers.
We've been running, dude.
We literally been hitting record numbers lately. Last week was so phenomenal. So, you know, we talked about it, and we are announcing tomorrow, like, the new protocols for the salon. So we're sending out an email blast, and excuse me. So we're going to announce that we're going as a salon to 75% capacity. So the truth there is that we never go over 75%, period, no matter what. At any time, we never do. Like, just the way that we book and the space that we have, the amount of chairs that we don't really use.
Yeah,
all
like
the
overspill stations,
yeah, all
like
the overspill
where
stations.
You put somebody to process and
yeah. So yeah. If you look at like what the fire code like number is versus how many people are in that building at all times, man, we're never at 75%. You know, so we're gonna stick with where we're at for our booking.
Yeah, I would think the only time we've even come close to hitting it is when we throw like a party.
Yeah.
You know, like when we invite clients in and, you know, that's do events.
It. Yeah. I think the most important thing for us is just to try to maintain the distance, keep those stations a little bit mm-hmm. further apart like we've been doing.
Yeah. And the dividers between the shampoo bowls, I'm sure those aren't going anywhere.
Those aren't going anywhere for a little while, at least. May never go anywhere. They may stay there. They may just stay there. Because they do help to block sound.
I've actually kind of enjoyed them.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not like throughout the day when people slide through and they kind of like bump them with their butts to make a little room. And then you walk over and there's that one bowl where there's like 9 inches on one side and 6 on the other. And
you know,
like,
it's funny because those bowls aren't evenly spread out anyway.
They're not. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
It's weird. Yeah.
Well, because originally there were only 3.
Yeah.
And then there was a 4th that was added.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you look at the floor, you can actually see where the concrete was like trenched out and refilled.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It was plumbed for 4, but there were only 3. But the spacing is not symmetrical.
It's odd. It really is odd. That third one is the worst.
Yeah.
It really is. The spacing on the third one's the worst.
Yeah, I like the ends.
Yeah, the ends are good. The second bowl's like if you had to get a middle one.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, second's definitely the one if you're in the middle.
But, I mean, in my honest opinion, we're 2 bowls short. We need 2 more shampoo bowls.
Yeah, really I think that's fair.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the way. But so I've had a ton of clients that have been vaccinated lately, and I myself got vaccinated 2.5 weeks ago. So I go next Wednesday for my second shot.
That's awesome.
And every adult in my immediate family has gotten at least one shot. So I think it's awesome, man. Like, I've had so many clients coming in that are like fully vaccinated, like ready to go, like just happy. You know, they're feeling a lot more positive.
Yeah, people are a lot more relaxed.
A lot more relaxed, yeah. So, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, it's not the end all be all. You could still get COVID. You could still pass COVID. But, like, it's literally 100% chance, like, you're not going to die if you get COVID, like, with these vaccinations.
Yeah, it's way, 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 way better.
Yeah, yeah, the numbers are crazy. So it's really, really good. You know, my stepdaughter goes back to school full time next week.
Yeah, and Oliver, like, went back this week is his first full-time week. Cow. And it's, like, been amazing.
Dude, we haven't been in school at all. Nothing. She has not stepped foot in school this whole year. Not one day.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I think about, like, the social impact that that has on kids. Because mm-hmm. when you're looking at, like, grade school kids into middle school kids, it's not even really about the academics. I mean, they're important. Mm-hmm. But they're learning how to interact with other people. Yeah. And how to learn how to be in a group setting. You know, mm-hmm. I think when you get in high school and college, it's so academically heavy. And of course, there's social stuff there too. But, you know, I'm not worried about Oliver. He's 12. He's in sixth grade. I'm not, like, him missing a year of school. When he's 30, it's not going to affect his life. Yeah. No. But the social things of missing a year can really set some people back. And, you know, luckily for me, for him, for, you know, all of the family, it's like, you know, he's a extroverted, outgoing kid. So no issues there. But, you know, for so many kids, dude, like, the social thing of not being in a school when they're 9 or 10 or whatever is, like, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I agree, man. You know, Ruby's the same way. She's super outgoing, and we've had to work really hard to get her socialized this year. So, I mean, having them back in school is great. But I will say this, that, like, I've noticed, like, some difference with my mom clients lately because of this transition. I've had some clients that have, like, had to reschedule because, like, this shift in schooling has kind of thrown them off. So
right, they got into a new routine, and I have to get into a new one again.
Yeah.
Like, COVID caused a routine, and now they're redoing it.
So I've had a bunch of people reschedule the past 2 weeks, and it's, like, heartbreaking when they call and they're like, I need to reschedule, because the front desk is like, he doesn't have an appointment till May or June.
Yeah, I know,
like, end of May to June for a color appointment.
Yeah, that's stressful,
you know. And I never want to stop growing. So, like, you know what I'm doing is basically, you know, I work 4 days on the floor, so do you. And so I'm rolling over into my fifth day here and there, trying to get people taken care of.
Right, picking up some slack.
Yeah, until we can get another assistant on board, and then I'll bump up to, like, basically the triple booking status, you know what I mean? Which I think is your move too, you know. I mean, shortly after that, once we really get capacity going back and we get, you know, more assistants at the salon, man. But, which is awesome. I mean, it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid
out
to.
The doors.
I'm not afraid to push it and keep growing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be off the chain. I think it's going to be crazy. Given, like, I think May is going to be nuts. It's going to be just absolutely, like, nothing we've ever seen in our salon, you know?
Yeah.
So
we're I mean, the energy is strong right now.
It is. It's really good. So, I mean, I'm excited. Thank God for, like, getting better. I hope it just keeps getting better. That's what I hope. So,
thanks, science.
Yeah, thank you, science. Seriously, you know what? This is something I said to one of my clients. So I'm, like, very pro-vaccine, and I don't want to get too political. But I do want to say this, that I got my shot the other day, and the feeling I had walking out of that place and getting back into my truck and leaving, I was like, oh, I felt like I was, like, on a high, man. Like, I was yes. Like, yes, man, this, like, hope. It was like this feeling of hope that felt so good. Like, you know, like, I'm safe, you know, like,
yeah,
my family's
awesome.
Safe, you know, like, it was this, like, feeling of hope that I feel like everybody needs to have that feeling, you know?
Well, like, even, like, on our way here from the salon, my sister moved to town. We stopped by her place because she had borrowed the recording gear. And it was funny because her husband was out getting the vaccine. Shout out, Kevin.
What up?
You vaxxed, bro.
Yeah, man.
But she was like, you know, like lit candles and like mm-hmm. it was gonna like a celebratory thing. And
that's
then
cool.
We're hanging out here. She texted and he like brought a bottle of champagne home. And it does have that like feeling of like, wow, like we're gonna be okay. Yeah. You know, it's like we're gonna move forward as a society. And
I gotta say though, like, I'm sorry, I totally interrupted.
No, you, bring it.
Did she play Keep Yourself Alive by Queen?
She didn't, no. She said she freaked out and played Dancing on the Ceiling, which
okay.
I think it's not a bad option.
No, it's fine.
It's just not shot specific.
The side effects could do weird things to you. You know? Yeah. Who knows?
I think it was probably playing more to the feeling, the emotion of the moment.
I gotcha. That's funny. Because Jordan's sister texted, like, what song should I play for the intro when he comes home? And I was like, Keep Yourself Alive by Queen. Yeah.
It was perfect.
Which does have a really good intro, man. You guys
we listened to it. It was sick.
Go listen to that song, guys. It's pretty good. So, anyway, we've been getting really busy lately at the salon, and it's awesome. I'm, like, super stoked about it. Here in Asheville, it's starting to warm up, and today was like raining, and it was like 70 degrees and raining today. And man, I started sweating again in my mask. I was like, ugh.
Today was the awful. First day that I was like uncomfortably hot at work.
Yes.
And actually, like, I don't know if anybody listening noticed, but the thunder's been rolling a few times since we started recording.
Yeah, we've had some good thunder on
some
here.
Good flashes. And not to go back to my negative client earlier, but it's funny that you bring that up.
Yeah.
Because at one point after I put the cape on her, she did that thing where she reached up and like put her finger in the collar pulled it out.
Yeah. We know that body language. Yep.
And I said, is it warm in here to you? Because it feels a little warm to me. And she goes, I'm fine. You're wearing a sweater.
That's awesome.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It has been warm. Like, the cherry trees are popping.
Yeah.
All the daffodils are up. It feels like spring.
Yeah, my grass is the greenest I've ever seen it before.
Yeah, like, it's chartreuse.
Man,
it's the only time it's okay to use that. Like,
yeah.
To use that as a description to me, like, you don't see chartreuse very often.
No,
but it's in the grass right now.
Yeah, it's awesome. Man, I love spring. I've always been a fall guy.
I'm a fall person.
Yeah, yeah, I was until like a couple of years ago, and I became a spring fan because I'm a whitewater kayaking enthusiast, basically.
Oh, so the water's raging.
The water's raging, for one thing. You get a lot of rain, and you also you don't have to wear your dry suit as much anymore. You can go to dry tops.
Okay.
And so the water starts warming up. So in the winter, we wear like a full dry suit to keep you warm. And it can be kind of cumbersome, and it's just kind of like, man, like splashing 35-degree water on your face in a river. It's like really makes you not want to like turn over in your kayak
or do
anything like kind of risky. So you do everything you can to stay upright. And, but in the spring, like you just get a little bit looser, like life's getting better. And then everything starts blooming, man. And that's like the greatest part to me is like everything blooming is awesome.
Yeah.
But then once the leaves all start greening out, like, oh, well, all the leaves come back. Then I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, you can't see anything. Then your views are all gone.
Yeah, but then when you have those big long range views, the texture is
it is cool,
spectacular.
Man, there's something to every season. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, because and also like we're super blessed, lucky, whatever verb you want to throw in there, to live in Asheville, and like the mountains here are amazing. But yeah, I get really intrigued. Like fall to me has always been my favorite because it's like the air is crispy and fresh and you see the colors change and it's
the blue of the sky.
Yeah. It's just
a different thing.
So cool. And then winter comes and there's this weird thing where like you see the skeletons of the mountains and the trees and the structure of everything. And then I've always been a spring too. Like I love spring and I love fall, but fall's still my favorite. I love the burst of like life and energy in spring, but my allergies are so bad that spring still pisses me off on a regular basis. Like you can almost hear it in my voice now.
Dude, I was feeling that yesterday. I was like, oh my God, I got that like dry itchiness in my throat. And I like was like coughing and couldn't stop for a minute. It's almost like you inhaled like a tiny hair, you know?
Yeah. Totally. I feel like my nostrils are at 50% capacity right now.
That's gross. So, So anyway, you know, it's, it's changing seasons around here. Things are more positive. It's pretty fun. What about trends right now? What are you thinking? Are you seeing anything? Because I feel like, you know, obviously the shag is huge. Oh, Billie Eilish.
Yeah, I was just gonna say like.
So yeah, we have to talk about that, right?
Yeah, because when we were talking about shags too, I mean, I would say. Obviously, more lightening services, people wanting their hair to be lighter, brighter. I would say that right now, to me, glazing is a trend, which is ridiculous, trying to help control that frizz and bring the shine back. But yeah, no, a couple days ago, I shot you that. I DM'd you on Instagram because, you know, Billie Eilish broke the internet. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, that's a thing now. Where she had like the most likes, she had like a million likes in 9 minutes or something, 6 minutes. I don't even know what it was, but because all of a sudden she debuted her blonde hair, you know, and I want to say it was like the day after the Grammys where she accepted her awards with her traditional green roots and black hair. Mm-hmm. And then not only was her hair like a really clean platinum blonde, but now she has all sorts of like short layers. And it is almost shag-esque, but it's not the shag we've been seeing.
But it's a shag.
But it's a shag, for sure.
I 100% think it's a shag. It's just not the same shag.
Right. It's not like a trendy shag. It's more like a grungy shag.
Which is actually more of my style. Like, yeah. I kind of like that shag a little bit better. I like a little bit less like really everything pushed right to the forehead and then curled away on the corners. I like what she's doing. I like it that it's softer. It has like almost less intention to it.
Yeah. Well, and it has a little more like I did it myself look.
Yeah.
Like it has that like Nirvana 90s grunge feel, which, you know, I'm always going to be a fan of that because we get stuck in the era where we grew up. But yeah. There's this thing where like her doing that, though, like, and I'm not a huge Billie Eilish fan. Like, I have respect for her. I think she's a talented artist and all that. But I think this is one of those examples of the internet, like, fucking with expectations, because there are tons of videos and photos out there where it's like she's been wearing a wig for like a month.
Yeah,
you know, and the wig was her hairstyle that we've all known. Mm-hmm. And this is probably like a 5 to 7 session blonding thing. Mm-hmm. But it appeared via Instagram as an overnight transformation. And that chapped my ass a little bit.
Yeah.
And then to me, like the tell all was the haircut.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different thing and it's not necessarily trendy, and she is a trendsetter, so she gets to do whatever the fuck she wants, and I respect that. But, you know, like, I want to see her like come out and be like, yeah, I kind of fooled all y'all.
I feel like, didn't she post a picture where she was like pulling it back or something like that? Like,
yeah, like she like kind of like itched her forehead. Yeah. You couldn't really tell if it was intentional or not, but you could tell she was wearing a wig.
Yeah, you could tell she's just trying to mess with people.
Yeah,
too, so.
Flirting with the idea of it. But anyway, I want to know who does her hair, and I want to hear the real story there. And I'll be interested to see, because she is kind of like the Gen Z fashion icon. You know, and like, I know
and
that.
And I think she is a good one. Like, yeah, me too. She is a good Gen Z icon.
Yeah, no, me too, because she is a talented artist. And I, like I said earlier, I do like respect her vibe and flavor totally. You know, that she brings to like the artistic community. But I still feel like we're going to have people that come to us with these I can't even.
Well, it's always the same thing. I mean, like, Katy Perry to me was like the epitome of the artist that was always changing hairstyles, but was always wearing a wig. Like, always. She literally wears a pixie haircut her whole life and just throws on different wigs. And like, girls come to the salon and show pictures, and you're like,
right.
That's just not possible, you know.
Or drop off $1,000 wig and come back next week, and I'll have it done for you.
Yeah. You know what happened to
Dolly Parton? I think is the OG.
She's the OG.
Yeah.
Well, she's like
Dolly Parton. She admits it. Yeah. She talks about it openly.
Dolly Parton's the raddest woman on the
planet. Yeah, Dolly for president.
100% the raddest female human being on the planet. And I love that Ruby, my stepdaughter, loves her. That's her icon.
That's amazing.
That's her one and only. So, yeah, Dolly Parton to me, like, I had a crush on Dolly Parton as a child, and, like, I still do. And, like, strangely, I was never really into country music, but, like, Emmylou Harris and mm-hmm. Dolly Parton were my crushes as a kid.
That works for
and
me.
And then Jane Fonda. I love Jane Fonda because of Barbarella, so.
Okay.
But anyway, Dolly Parton has not been seen without a wig on since the mid to late 60s.
That's
swear
wild.
To God, not once. So, I mean, she's awesome, though. But she's the epitome of, like, a star that, like, knows it. She's playing a character. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, she's awesome. Real as fuck.
She's so real and so just genuinely cool and, like, just a good human being, man. She's awesome. I love her so much. But yeah, the whole wig thing is great. I think it's great. I think it's great when people embrace it and they tell you the truth about it, you know. But, like, having expectations as a client of one thing and the other, man, it's, come on.
Well, and maybe the expectation should be that I want to change my hair often mm-hmm. and wildly, so I'm going to invest in wigs and I want you to color them for me.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do that for clients.
I saw an article today that was just nothing but pictures of stars with a wig on versus without. And it was big stars. It was like Kendall Jenner and like people like that. I don't know who it was. I wish I could cite the article, but it was pretty funny, man, because it was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Because it's super commonplace.
It's very commonplace, man. It really is. I mean, these people are working wonders with these wigs, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes so much sense. It really does. Because hair does not make those transformations that easily.
Well, and you have to think too, like, you know, before somebody goes on stage, let's just say for the Grammys, mm-hmm. like, there's wardrobe, there's outfit, there are lines, there are all these things that have to happen, and it's all going to come down to, like, 2 seconds you need to walk out. So that hair could get screwed up at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, like, press and dress a wig and secure it on somebody, I mean, unless you get thrown in a lake, it's gonna look good.
Yeah,
you know, you can sweat all day and a wig's still gonna look good.
I remember seeing Dolly Parton's trailer one time, like, with all these, like, wig cases. It was like 30 of them in her trailer. It was crazy. She could just switch at any time.
That's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, and she took better care of those than anything else in her
yeah
life.
It's her,
like,
pets.
It was awesome.
Yeah
it's cool, man. It was really cool. I saw a dude at Home Depot the other day with a wig on, and man, it looked horrible. It was terrible. It was this dude with a little toupee on.
I was just going to say, as much as we're sitting here and, like, loving on wigs, mm-hmm. I do have beef with dudes with the toppers.
Yeah.
You know, I like that it's transitioned from a toupee and now they're called toppers, and they're different. They last longer. Yeah. You glue them on and the hairlines are natural. But, dude, they
just
don't
shave your head,
they
homie.
Don't look good.
They don't look good.
They don't. Like you think they look
know
good.
No, they're fake.
Yeah, the super unnatural hairline really freaks me out. And nobody that's 47 has that much volume in their hair naturally.
No.
Like,
I mean, we have a mutual acquaintance that we both know that, like, that was pretty close to being, like, passable.
But it was, yeah, it was one of the best I've seen.
It's, yeah, that was a very expensive one. But I knew it was there, like, almost from the get-go, like.
Well, and then to, like, just for juxtaposition, I'm going to give Kevin another shout out.
Okay.
So there was a moment when my sister Eliza started dating her now husband, Kevin, mm-hmm. and I met him, and he was doing the thing where he still had, you know, like, spiked hair on top that mm-hmm. it wasn't that long, like an inch long maybe, and faded on the sides, but his the corners had receded back mm-hmm. significantly, and you could, like, see into his hairline. Mm-hmm. And we had a whole conversation about it. And I was like, dude, you need to take control of that. Do it on your terms and cut that shit off. You'll look like you're from the future. Mm-hmm. It's going to look rad. Just shave it, like, own it. Yeah. And I remember afterwards, and not, like, immediately afterwards, but then the next time we talked, like, a couple months later, mm-hmm. he was like, that was a big, like, life-changing moment for him. It's like this authentic, like, I'm all about any type of self-care that can give you confidence. And if it takes a topper to do that and that works for you, then by all means do it. But I think that there's something to be said about authentically embracing exactly who you are as a person and being the best version of yourself and being like, fuck it, I'm going to shave my head and I'm going to own it and I'm going to be fashionable and I'm going to take care of my teeth like a normal grown up and do all these other things. And hair doesn't matter. You can have swag in a million different ways. Mm-hmm. And fake hair on dudes is not a good version of swag to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think if it looked more real, it would be different. Or if we could do it in a more real way, like, you know, it'd be different. But like the thing is it just doesn't look like real hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't. It doesn't. We always know it's fake. Always. And so, you know, I mean, it's kind of problematic. And I think, you know, the thing about being a man is that, like, not having hair is okay. Like, 100% as a man, you can be 100% bald, shaved head, and that's okay. You know? Unfortunately, the same is not true for women a lot of times. It's a different standard for,
there's a stigma there.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, I mean, I think this is important for all men to hear that, like, dude, let it go. I mean, literally, just let it go. Like, you're going to be perceived as a stronger human being for shaving your head.
Oh, 100%.
Than you are going to be for putting a fake piece of hair on top of your head. I mean, like, I don't mean to be harsh about it, but, like, that's the truth.
Yeah, and I don't want to offend anybody out there that's rocking a topper, but I think that you nailed it when you said, like, it's nobody is going to shame you. Because the other thing, too, is it's not like you did anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you see somebody in their, I hate to go back to teeth, but, like, I was just missing a tooth. Like, you see a meth head and their teeth are all jacked up. You're like, well, that person treated themselves poorly, and there's a stigma attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare that you do something that causes your own hair loss. There are eating disorders. There's hormone imbalances. There's all these things, but a lot of them are natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that the stigma of women losing their hair will drop too, because I know you and I have talked about, you know, a woman shaving their head. Over the weekend, I watched Sinead O'Connor singing Nothing Compares.
God,
that video is ridiculously good, man. God, like, it's so powerful.
So good.
But, like, if somebody's losing their hair, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, just let it go. And I know this is probably confused. Somebody out there is like, listen to these douchebags talking about how awesome wigs are.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're, you know, saying, but, like,
well, I mean, yeah, it goes back and forth and it's weird, but it's like, it is somewhat of a double standard in a weird way. Like, and we understand that, like, you know, we understand that for women, hair loss is a much different thing, you know?
Well, and also for women, like, wigs can be like fashion and fun, and it's a way to do a quick, easy change.
Oh,
it's not necessarily that they're faking it. It's that they're having fun with it. But when a dude does it, it's sad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The guy's not going from a green to a blue wig.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, if you're switching it up like that weekly, I'm not mad at you.
No.
But if you're bald and trying to hide it, fuck off.
Yeah. And if you're rocking it and saying this is a wig, that's cool. But if you're trying to hide it, it's like kind of weird.
Well, yeah. It's just like that takes, it's a confidence factor, like we've talked about. You know, it's. And if a wig does that for a woman in a fashionable sense, that's rad.
Yeah. So, you know, there's this thing about confidence, man. Like, it's one of the most attractive traits that any human being could ever have is confidence.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I saw this thing on Instagram the other day. It was something about, like, yeah, you guys think that girls want six packs, but the real truth is they want to laugh. You know, and like only a confident man really makes a girl laugh, you know, and like I think there's some truth to that, you know, like for the most part, you know.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
And
at
it
all.
Goes both ways in every direction. And it goes back to what I was talking about with the assistants. It's all about confidence, man. Like, you know, when you're sitting in a chair and you're vulnerable with a cape, a piece of plastic thrown around your neck that's choking you and somebody else is, you know, feeling on your head and you don't know what they're about to do to your hair. If they're not confident, you know it in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah. You can feel
every bit of their energy. And like, you know, so one of the assistants at work, you know, I really press on her. I'm like, you need more confidence and you need to work on that. Like, this is the deal. You need to focus on being confident. And the other day, like, I walk around the corner and she's doing a blow dry on one of my clients, and she sees me and drops a clip on top of the client's head, and then it falls onto the floor.
It's because you looked at her, man.
Well, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely. And what's funny is, you know, about 3 hours later, we're in the break room, and I go, what happened? She's like, I saw you walk around the corner.
Yeah. Duh.
I was like, you know what I was going to say. She was like, I know, confidence. I was like, you got to be confident. You got to keep it. You got to fake it till you make it, no matter what, man. Like, that's the most important part, because, like, when you start doing hair, man, you don't know shit. And you ain't going to know shit for a couple of years. You're going to start thinking you know way more than you do about a year in.
And then you'll screw it up.
Yeah.
And you will get humbled.
You will get humbled, and then you will get pounded down into the ground, and then you will slowly build your ego back. And
definitely.
Yeah. The thing about it is you, the whole time, you're always on stage, and you're always having to fake that confidence. No matter what, never let them see you sweat. You know, never run to the shampoo bowl. Never run to the dispensary because you're so stressed out. Never do that.
Yeah, never ditch.
Always, like, walk slow, deliberate, and, like, with your swagger, man, you got to keep it going the whole time, you know, because the clients see it no matter what.
You know, yesterday I was in the break room talking to an apprentice, and there were a couple stylists back there, and we were talking about, like, client horror stories. I don't remember how it came up.
This is one of the funnest topics to talk about.
Yeah. And so, like, the thing that we were trying to explain to the apprentices, there's going to be a moment. There's going to be one client. There's going to be one appointment where you are working on somebody, and it's going to be so fucking bad that you are going to consider not doing hair anymore. There's literally going to be, like, we should ask all future guests. We're going to be like, tell me about the client that made you want to quit doing hair. Because I think every hairstylist,
this might be the greatest possible thing that we've brought up right here.
Yeah, like, every single hairstylist in the world has a client that made them think, maybe I shouldn't be doing this for a living. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not good at this or whatever.
And it might not have been the client. It might have just been the situation. It might have been that one time we all remember.
Mm-hmm. That perception of what happened. So what I was explaining to her is, like, you have to fight through that. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, pick yourself up and keep going and not dwell on that and not let that define your career, who you are. You have to grow and always be moving forward, because we all have that story. And until you get to that, that's like a tipping point in a career when you go, nope, I'm going to continue.
Yeah.
And then that's in the rearview mirror, and then it's growth from there, and it's going to happen. Maybe not to that extreme, but bad stuff's going to happen. But that's what we need. We're artists, and we're creative people, and we're technical too, but, man, we have to have that to keep going.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember that moment, and I think I've talked about it on the podcast way back in the day, but, you know, I had that moment. I actually just absolutely ruined somebody's hair. I did, when I was, like, a baby hairstylist, and I wasn't really on the floor. I was just, like, an apprentice, and it was the worst day of my life, maybe. I mean, it was, like, horrible. It was definitely the worst day of my professional life ever. And I was defeated. And I was defeated for months after that. Like, I was just not the same person. I was not the same stylist. And I had to, like, crawl back from that, you know? I was in this hole after that. And it was tough. But, man, it was unbelievably necessary for my life, you know? Like,
those moments are.
Man, I would never make a mistake like that again. And I think that's kind of where that whole I would rather say no than, you know, I'm sorry thing came from, was, like, I was trying to do something impossible, you know? And I...
But you thought you could do it. That's the thing.
I thought I could do it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Confident. I was overly confident. And, man, I, like, just... you know, rip this lady's hair apart, basically, with chemicals. It was bad. But yeah, that was that defining moment. That was like, you know what? I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
So, and I remember, you know, like, you know, people told me back in the day, dude, you're going to mess some hair up, and you got to realize that, you know, people are going to be okay. It's going to grow back. It's not a big deal. You know, just, you know, some people are going to be very, very upset about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm sure there are a million clients that have not a million clients. That's, but there are a few clients that have stories about me about how bad I screwed their hair up. You know, like there's somebody out there that came to me for two haircuts 9 years ago or whatever it is. Like, man, let me tell you about the worst haircut I ever had.
Yeah.
And I'm the person that did it, you know, and that's okay.
It'd be cool to have a second chance at some of those, you know?
Right, like a decade later. Sounds like like the best reality show ever.
Yeah, somebody that you really messed their hair cut up or something. Yeah. Or they messed their color up and like they came back to you 10 years later and you like totally different stylist. You know?
Yeah, that's actually a really cool concept.
It really is a cool concept. I wish I had some contact information from some of these old people. But
yeah, get at us, ABC. Yeah. I'm sure you could put a PI on it and figure it out.
I'm sure, man. So, you know, one other thing I wanted to talk about. Dude, there's been an amazing amount of education on Instagram lately. And, I mean, I feel like inspired by a lot of it. I really do. I personally feel inspired. Like a lot of people are putting out a lot of videos, but there's also just like almost like it's a bit saturated right now with education, you know?
Yeah.
And so some of it's just getting lost in the mix, you know, like I've heard convex versus concave more times on Instagram in the past 2 months than I've ever heard on Instagram, you know? And so, and not even just that, just, you know, all the different, like, you know, buzzwords in haircutting.
Yeah.
But, what, like, what's your feelings right now on education? Like,
I mean, for me, I am so ready for hands-on education. The whole, like, the digital platform for education, I think I found inspiring literally through quarantine, like a year ago now. We couldn't be in the salon. I was like, people were pumping out some videos. I was like, oh, this is good. Mm-hmm. You know, I need this in my life right now. But at this point, I am 100% over watching people cut mannequins online. And like, I even, there are people out there that I love and respect so much that are doing it. And the work they're doing is great. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's fulfilling them artistically and somebody's getting help out of it. But for me personally, I can't do any more of it. I have to have that hands-on thing. One of the things that I've thought of is how, like, there's some educators out there that have absolutely mastered the camera angle, where they either have a model or they have a mannequin. The camera angle is so perfect. Mm-hmm. And one of the thoughts that I've had is, man, if you could have 30 people in a class that all had that angle hands-on, they would all learn so much. Mm-hmm. But part of my like tactile experience as a learner is going into a class and there being a bunch of people huddled around one stylist and mannequin and figuring out what vantage point I'm going to stand at.
Sure.
Figuring out where I want to be in the room, how I communicate with the people standing around me, how somebody makes a comment and I ask them what they mean by that. And like, it's to me, education is a much larger experience than just this edited, digestible 45 to 90 second thing. Cause everything is like, it's either under a minute so that it'll fit on the Instagram story and where you don't have to go into Reels or into IGTV, or they're 47 minutes. And I don't want either of those.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch something that's an hour in a 90 second edited clip is not actually giving me anything.
Yeah.
So to me, like, keep doing it, everybody out there that's doing it. Do it for yourselves, you know, produce that for yourselves. And some stylist out there is going to get it, but I am totally over it.
So do you think it's that, like, you really just miss in-person education more than anything?
I mean, it probably, because I am a people person.
Yeah.
Like, this whole, like, digital world doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, all the people I know that are so excited to, like, still Zoom birthday with, I'm like, gross. Yeah,
no,
like
Zoom, I'm over
I
Zoom
don't want to do that. You know, like I'm a human and I like the human interaction. Yeah. I don't like the fact that our world's going in this direction and, you know, whatever. I'm archaic and I'm a dinosaur and I'm going to die and people are going to joke that I'm old school and I'm fine with that. I don't give a shit, but I do want that. So part of it is just that I want to be in person. I want to get on a plane and I want to fly to Toronto and I want to go into a class and I want to interact with other people for 3 days.
We need to go back to Toronto, man.
We do.
I feel like Toronto owes us another favor in some way.
Yeah.
Like it cut us short.
Yeah. And my AirPods are still in customs somewhere. So I need to go back and get them.
You know, I don't know. Cause being there on a Sunday was not the best day.
Yeah.
Like Toronto, what's up, man? You need to up your Sunday game.
Yeah, Sundays are weak in Toronto, but Canadians know how to relax. They do. So props to that. Yeah. You know?
So, you know, I honestly, man, I guess like it's not that I disagree or anything like that, like because I do agree with you. I get fed a little bit more from the Instagram stuff. But I miss in-person education a lot, though. I really do. I will say that what I like about what's going on right now is that there's a lot of free education. And whether or not, you know, people are still pushing to make a lot of money off their education right now. And I get that because there's plenty of people that are not able to work. So they have to make a living somehow. So they're selling their education. I get that. But I also really do like that as an industry, we are upping the whole game in the industry right now by having so much more free education and good free education.
Yeah, the you know? Transparency of it rules.
I like that the transparency support. Because it's like, man, everybody in this world benefits from it, you know, and the good hairstylists keep doing well. The bad ones keep doing poorly, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just the overall quality of the hair industry gets better. And like when we can charge more money because we're doing better, like that's a good thing to me. You
yeah,
know?
For sure. And I will say, like, I think I mentioned to you earlier, I kind of went on this like unfollowing tirade like last week on Instagram. Yeah. I unfollowed like 50 people or something. I wasn't like angry or anything. I was just like going through my feed and I was like, this literally doesn't enrich my life. So why am I partaking in it? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I realized is there are a lot of platforms out there or, you know, Instagram pages that, you know, kind of consider themselves like education. But again, I see it more as like vanity where they like, do the same shit over and over. And they're like, just look at how good we are at doing hair. And like, that doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. So I really do appreciate when somebody shares a technique. You know, or goes in and like says, like, here's how I address this issue. And I love that that's going to have a permanent footprint in our industry moving forward. And those are going to be tips and tricks that people share potentially for free. And I like that and it's good, but I just don't want to do any more digital anything.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think is great about this podcast with me and you is we're just not Instagram people.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you want to get real, like with two hairstylists that are doing, you know, thousands of dollars behind the chair every week and we're busy as hell and we don't post much on Instagram, we just do it the old school way. Like, this is the podcast. Like, I mean, that's how it is. Like,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
We're just like, I don't know. I mean, I would love to post a bunch of after pictures, but like the problem is every time I check somebody else, I check somebody out. Like, I got somebody else.
Yeah, the next client's waiting.
Yeah, and, like, we're just ripping through it, you know? And, you know, I mean, we're artists for sure. Like, you know, there's definitely Instagram artists that are much more talented than I am for sure. And I respect that, too. But, like, man, I'm a self-admitted everyday hairstylist that just is very busy.
Yeah, you know? It's behind the chairs, churn and burn.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I love to be able to like catch an image of something that I've done, but I mean, there are a lot of times too. It's like, I don't know if you've been to the Grand Canyon, but like you go to the Grand Canyon and it's like, that's amazing. You take a picture of it and then you go to show a friend and they're like, yeah, it's neat. And you're like, you should have seen it in real life.
Yeah.
Like your picture doesn't read. And I think what happens sometimes on Instagram is like the opposite. Like you have people that maybe only have two clients a day and they spend so much time like capturing a kick-ass image and showcasing how good their work is, but you know, maybe it wasn't. And I'm not trying to say anything negative about anybody out there, but you know, there are so many people that there, I think it might have been you that said like there are so many amazing hairstyles that have like zero traction on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And there are so many like mediocre hairstylists on Instagram that have massive followings. Yeah. And it's all about like the content you're willing to put out there. And like my style at least is like just knocking it out behind mm-hmm. the chair. And I feel yeah. like I do pretty good hair consistently and then really great hair once in a while.
Well, and we also do the hair that people want. You know, I mean, I know people that are amazing hair cutters and they do what they want to do, you know? And so a lot of their haircuts are one-off haircuts, you know, because like the people that sit in their chair, you know, they get up and they're like, well, that's not what I wanted. You know,
right, it's a masterpiece. It's artistic. It's a
masterpiece in art, but that's not what I wanted. So I'll never come back, you know?
I want my haircut when I cut somebody's hair, let's say I give somebody a short ish haircut. They need to come back in 8 weeks. If the haircut that day picture worthy is the best the haircut ever looks, mm-hmm. it's a bad haircut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a really good haircut, somebody's gonna be like, I think that I really like this, mm-hmm. but it might be a tiny bit short. And then when they come back in 2 months later, they're like, okay, it took me a week to like get in the zone with it. Mm-hmm. And then it kicked ass for like 6 weeks. And then this last week I was like, oh my gosh, it's getting a little bit long. I hope my appointment's soon. And then I realized I booked it and here I am. Yeah. To me, that's a perfect haircut.
Yeah.
You know, for that haircut to make the client happy for, you know, 7/8 of the length that the haircut lives on their head. It's great. I don't care to take a picture of a haircut when I finish it to show the world what I can do. And it's the only time that that hair looks amazing.
Yeah.
I want the hair that I do to be user friendly. I want the client to be able to rock it, style it. I want it to be manageable for them where they don't have to fight it. I want it to look good if they don't do anything and look amazing if they put a little effort into it. And to me, that's good hair, mm-hmm. you know? So it's not important to me to be Insta famous or like, to really lean on capturing that after. I think it's great for growing the clientele and things like that. But at this point in my career, I want to have meaningful relationships with clients that I care about mm-hmm. and that care about me. And I want to deliver them a service that makes them happy and give them an experience where they have a good time.
Yeah.
And if I can do that and they keep coming back, then that's my interpretation of success.
Dude, that's a win right there, man.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
For sure. I'm you know, in the same way, man. I mean, like, I think we produce, you know, what we do in the same way. Like, we are people, you know. We give people what they want, and we do a good job over and over every day. And we do it in, like, we do a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know,
high volume.
Yeah. We do a good bit of volume with it. So, you know, and to me, the definition of what a good hairstylist is a very broad term, like, and it means different things to different people, you know?
Yeah. And to any stylist out there, like, all you have to do is figure out how you define your own success. And it doesn't matter what you or I say.
Yeah.
You know, so some people want to be able to like nail that, what to me is like a very generic look, like that sombre, like wand curled look. And like, it's so trendy and it's beautiful, but to me it's generic and you see it everywhere. And if that's not what I want to do as an artist, but if you're out there and you're a young hairstylist and you're like, I'm inspired by that and it's so pretty and I want to nail that, then fucking go out there and learn how to do it and nail it.
Yeah. I mean, and if you want to do Chelsea's, you want to do moosh cuts, like you want to do these things that are like very strange every day, you know, and that makes you feel successful and you find the market for that. And that's what you do. But you don't necessarily make a ton of money doing it. That's OK, because you're doing what you want to do. Like, you find your groove. Like, there's a significant amount of people that like they really just want to produce like intensely beautiful art to them every day.
And yeah,
it doesn't matter what they're bringing home as long as it keeps the lights on, you know, that's cool. Like, that's totally cool. It's not my thing. Like, I'm more of a like, I want to make a lot of money type of thing, you know, like, and I think that's cool, too. You know, I produce good art, but like, dude, I want to make some decent. I want to make a decent living. Like, I really do. Like,
yeah, it's my jam. I think that what I like to do is I like to be able to be consistent yet creative.
Yes.
You know, and totally. I think that's what people want to pay for is consistent experience behind the chair and a consistent good hair behind the chair. Mm-hmm. But they also want to be pushed a little bit. And I never want to be redundant and do the same shit over and over. So
yeah,
as long as I can produce that behind the chair, I'm going to be happy.
I feel like my jam, man, is like, so I average somewhere around 6, 7, 8 people a day right now during COVID. You know, on a busy day, it's like 9.
Yeah.
And like my jam is like if I could do 1 or 2 funky things a day, and then the rest of them are just like my, you know, going through the paces. You
right.
know what I mean? Because like no matter what, like that, those are my money makers. Like I'm going to do those anyway. They just keep coming back. Yeah, I want what you did last time. Okay, great. Sit down. You know.
Yeah, but when somebody wants their roots touched up.
If I can get like done. 1 solid, 2 solid, really good, like technically sound things that I do every day, like I'm fed. You
yeah.
know. Like,
yeah, me too. A bob does it for me every time.
Yeah, always. Yeah,
like totally. I feel like this week I've had a lot of bobs. And I mean, like working in the room that I work in, Angie's like my partner in crime, booth next to me. Like we've been working together for, I think like 4.5 years. Like, so we have mm-hmm. like a long work relationship mm-hmm. and she's always really great about a few things. But this past week she's been like, that's a beautiful bob. Like a few times.
Yeah.
And it's one of those haircuts that like, I think that after 15 years of doing hair, like I don't want to say like I finally figured it out, but I feel like I've finally figured it out, you know, and like going in and detailing that is like, it's so classic, but it's so technically challenging at times mm-hmm. due to somebody's hairline and a million different variables. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it might not look like the most artistic, crazy thing, but that shit is hard and fun mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
And detailing that at the end and getting it just right.
Yeah,
man, that's good stuff.
It is good stuff, man. I don't know. Like, I have a lot of bobs, like tons of bobs every day. It's a bob. Like, I had 3 bobs today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is. Like, I, you know, Jocelyn is a bob. Like, so, like, well, my life is like.
It's the only haircut that's not gone away in 100+ yeah. years.
It's just
everything else.
Minuscule details that are different.
Well, the styles of them change, but yeah. as a perimeter and shape mm-hmm. it's the only haircut that's never gone out of style.
Yeah, no, I love bobs. I really do. I love cutting bobs. I cut bobs, like, you know, I've got like probably 5 different go-to ways to cut a bob that I do all the time, and like I do mix it up on the same person. I just do it a little bit differently every time, but I think it's like you, it's like that fine detail work at the end is where it's at. You know,
well, it's, you know,
and the finishing work on a bob is hugely important.
Yeah, I think it might have been it may have been somebody famous, or it may have just been like an old coworker of mine. But the joke is like, what's the difference between a good haircut and a great haircut? And the answer is 6 weeks. You know, like a good haircut looks amazing day one, a great yeah. haircut looks amazing day one, mm-hmm. but 6 weeks later, a great haircut still looks great, and a good haircut doesn't look great anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, like when you get into a bob, like when somebody comes back 6 or 8 weeks later and it's time to recut the bob and it still looks good.
Still good. It's just longer.
That's a fucking great haircut. You yeah. know, like that's a job well done.
Yeah.
If you want to get like artistically and nerdy, I don't think that I've cut the perfect mohawk yet
yeah.
in my career. That would be like the one, like we talked yeah, about the Fibonacci probably. Sequence for yeah. the perfect mullet ratio.
Yeah.
Like I would love to cut the perfect mohawk, and I've cut some good ones. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, so maybe that'll be,
it would have to be the sides versus the length of the actual hawk itself.
Yeah. I think
it would have to be the, so
I don't, yeah. I don't think that I would want to try to like, ratio fee this one. I think this yeah. is going to be like a just visually mm-hmm. it's going to be all about the hair texture, shape of the skull, really.
Yeah.
And like the person, but
yeah, that occipital,
I don't know, that I've angle. Cut the perfect mohawk. Yeah. And I've probably cut, I mean, honestly, I've probably cut a couple hundred mohawks in my life.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I've done faded ones, I've done soft ones, I've done hard ones, I've done taxi cab, I've done punk rocker. Mm-hmm. Like, I've cut a bunch. I've probably rocked
Mr. 15. T.
Yeah. I've done some Mr. T's.
Yeah.
They're fucking great. And I've probably rocked a dozen, maybe 15 myself. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite haircuts ever, but mm-hmm. that's maybe it just happened now. That's my new artistic goal. For like the next year, is I want to cut the perfect mohawk.
Man, I like it. I mean, I sent you that thing on Instagram about Billy Strings, his
kick
mullet.
Ass. Yeah, that was kick ass.
I do think that currently is the best mullet. And then my buddy Frank, I'm giving a shout out to Frank right now. He sent me a picture of his mullet wig. It was really good. I thought that was close to the Fibonacci sequence. I even said it's almost perfect. So, good job on that one. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, my hair goal, man, that's tough. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to put you on the spot. I just accidentally discovered my own.
No, I like some of these mini shags right now, these really short mini shags, you know, that it's like, is that a pixie? Is it a bob or is it a mini shag? What is that? You know, I like those. Those are intriguing to me way more so than the longer shags right now. I like these.
Well,
mini ones.
So you're talking about like the ones that have like almost like a 60s vibe.
They're like literally a bob length. But they're actually a shag with like the curtain bang that opens
broken.
Up in the middle.
Yeah. Like you could see like Twiggy rocking it.
I could see Twiggy rocking it, but it's maybe a little more shaggy than that.
Okay.
You know, but like I really like them. Lots of texture. I'd say Brian Hickman is probably the one doing the ones that I like. He's at a local honey in Nashville. I like his like
I'll have to check it out.
Interpretations of those mini shags. I think that's cool, man. But I've seen some other ones that I really like. I don't know, Ben Brown. I think he did one that I liked. So you know, there's some really cool ones out there. I think there's some interesting shapes coming out right now that are a little bit different than normal. DJ did that moosh cut the other day. That was cool. I mean, I don't know. I think there's some cool trends going on right now. I don't know what's going to really stick. I know these shag cuts are going to stick. I don't think it's going to be like the Goodbye Horse Girl shag is going to be like the mainstream one. I think it's going to be a little softer than that, you know?
Yeah, but texture's here for a while.
I mean, I dig that. I mean, I think she's just an angel, man. She's so good. But like, I don't think that's necessarily going to be the mainstream shag. I think it's going to be more that Billie Eilish look, that like
which,
softer.
By the way, Goodbye Horse Girl, shout out Sloan. Mm-hmm. I have a funny story about her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Taught a class in Portland that she took, and I nicknamed her Sloan. She's super cool. Yeah.
That's cool. Random. Shout out to you. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up, man. That was a good episode, man. It was really fun talking to you. You know, one thing I wanted to point out to guests, man, like if you guys have any questions, please DM us at Humble Hairdressers on Instagram or you could shoot either one of us messages. I'm at Jay Melanson and Jordan's He Who Winks.
I like that you did mine slow, like Jay Melanson, so easy to find.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody.
Well, you can go on the Humble Hairdressers page. You'll find fucking both of us. So, but also I wanted to say, guys, if you could get on there and give us a 5-star review, that would be super beneficial for us. Like, subscribe to the podcast, like technically speaking, subscribe, and then give us a 5-star review. That would be awesome. I mean, you don't have to like write it up, but if you could, that'd be cool too, man. Like, it just helps us to get bumped up in all the feeds.
Or give us a 3 and tell us all the stuff we could do better.
No, don't do that. No. I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, it definitely helps us to get bumped up. We are non-monetizing podcast.
We
earn zero money off this at all. We just do it for fun. And that's kind of what we're going to keep doing, you know, until somebody gives us a ton of money and we get rich, you know, whatever.
And even then, dude, like, actually, no joke. Like, from day one, you were like, you know, the beauty of this is that nobody's telling us that we can or can't swear or what to talk about or what not talk about. This is authentically just me and you.
Yeah.
So we don't have any fucking backers. We don't have any financial support. We spent our own money to make this happen, and we love it, and we want you guys to love it too. So this isn't going to turn into like an NPR fundraiser or anything like that. But you know, if you like it, fucking hook us up, help us get better rating subscriptions, whatever. We want to hear from you. We want to answer your questions. So engage. We'll keep coming.
Yeah. That's it, man. That's all we got. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you on episode 20. Peace.
Yeah.